and welcome to the Medicine Box, where we get you all things pharmaceutical and healthcare. Today, I have with me a special guest, Prashant Tandon, the co-founder and the CEO of Tata OneMG, the digital health company in which Tata Digital picked up majority stake earlier this year. Tata OneMG started as an e-pharmacy and, like many of its peers, has now expanded to become more of an omni-channel play. That means providing different healthcare services across its platforms. Today, we have Prashant to help us understand whether the acceleration seen in the digital health tech market due to COVID-19 is the new normal and is it here to stay. Lest we forget, with tech companies being the flavor of the primary markets, this conversation will also aim to get down to the basics of the health tech market, as in how big is it in India, its growth prospects, and how are companies innovating to stay ahead. Prashant Tandon is here to answer all of these questions. Hi Prashant, welcome to the Medicine Box.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Well, Prashant, you know, let's start with the basics. What is the health tech market? Can you define it for us? And can you break it up for us when it comes to the B2B services as well as the B2C services?
Sure. I think health tech actually is a very large space. And when you look at it, let's look at the B2C side. It's technology providing access to consumers at one basic level. So that's e-pharmacy, e-diagnostics, telemedicine, and information and content. So these would be the four legs of that part of the health tech market. Then there is the entire new technologies and the fundamental approach through data. So where you have IoT, which is a way to access data, you have data sciences and AI and ML models that are coming up. That entire space, a huge space of processing or playing with that data is a big part of what health tech will be in the future. There's a full part, there's also a radiology, AI processing, all of those things I would put in the data bucket. Then comes the technology that is enabling the healthcare providers and healthcare ecosystem players. So whether it is hospitals, how they're managing their internal functions, coordination, patient care post-hospital, whether it's pharma companies running patient support programs these days, or insurance companies now getting into outpatient health insurance, all of those fundamentally are driven by technology. So there's this entire B2B or ecosystem digital health landscape also. Along with that, we are seeing the digitization of the entire value chain, be it pharma, diagnostics, and now telemedicine, and with UHI coming. So I think talk anything about healthcare, it's being impacted by technology.
Okay. Is it fair to assume that the entire health tech market in India is currently valued at around $2 billion and the breakup between B2C and B2B is 50-50? B2C is $1 billion approximately and B2C is $1 billion as well?
I would actually argue that $2 billion is probably more of the B2C market right now. The rest of the markets are still B2B. It's very hard to quantify because there's just too many stakeholders and too much happening. But if you look at distributors or wholesalers owned by health tech companies, you're right, it'll be roughly $1 billion or $1.5 billion. But in my mind, we are already at 1.5 to 2 billion in the direct to consumer side.
Okay, and that's probably where all the mind space is, Prashant. So let's concentrate on the B2C market, which is basically your e-pharmacies, your e-diagnostics, and what has taken place in the past 1 to 2 years, which is from the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to experts, there's been an acceleration in terms of the number of users, and that's probably by years when it comes to teleconsulting or digital health. Put that into numbers for us. What have you seen in the past 2 years?
Sure. So at one level, as an ecosystem in terms of transacting customers, there was recently a FICCI industry report also that just the first quarter of COVID led to a 3x increase in the number of people transacting with digital health platforms. So I think that's a very significant jump that happened in the first phase of the initial lockdown, and that's monumental. In terms of just when I talk of our platform at OneMG, The traffic, I think last financial we were at around 90 million unique users. Now we are at 150 million unique users on an annual basis. So that's a very significant jump off a very high base. So what we are seeing is two parts, and the reason I'm mentioning it is the transacting user base has gone up significantly, yes, but the number of people who are coming online to learn about healthcare and understand various options, that has also become now mainstream. Pretty much everyone is going online for a lot of their healthcare information requirements today.
Okay, so there's a larger amount of awareness, but Prashant, you mentioned your unique users have risen by over 65%, 90 million going to around 150 odd million. But now, post-COVID, how much do you expect it to probably retain? Because in the US, what we have seen is that the number of users when it came to the digital tech market have actually reduced post-COVID-19. Are you seeing that same trend take place in India?
Not really. I think what we are seeing is continued growth and a new normal, as is the industry term these days. But why it is happening, there are some very fundamental reasons why this is happening. See, what COVID did, one, was an immediate access issue that people just could not get their medicines, they could not get their tests, etc., etc., by going out. So they had no option. So they had to try the digital route. However, we are in a sector which is so massively underpenetrated today, and access is actually a very, very big issue across the country. And even after all this acceleration and growth, I'll give an example of telemedicine. India, I think all the top players together would be doing somewhere around 100,000 daily consultations, maybe 150,000. In China, the top single top player, which is Ping An Good Doctor, claims to be doing 2 million transactions a day. So 20 times what the entire country here does. And it's not that India does not need access to doctors very differently from China. Now, this behavior change that has happened has led to a very fundamental change in the way people think about going to a doctor. Earlier, most people in India, if you would have a small slight fever or headache or something, your first thing would be either to let it be or go to a pharmacy and just self-medicate, which is pretty bad. Now you can just go on a platform, quickly chat with a doctor, you get a prescription, and then do as is appropriate. So market is growing as a result of this, and I think we are still at a very, very early stage when it comes to the headroom. So unlike US, unlike mature markets, we are nowhere close to saturation. So, and at least there are no signs right now of things slowing.
Okay, so there's probably a fundamental change which has taken place in the behavior. But Prashant, I just want to, just expand on that point because there are a lot of people who'd rather go to the hospital or go to the doctor's clinic and get physically examined by a doctor as opposed to get a teleconsult online. What I mean to say is that now with mobility back to probably almost normal, do you think that many of the users will probably fall off that base simply because mobility has increased? You can go to a diagnostic clinic physically, you can go to a pharmacy to access your medicines.
So I think a few points there. Let's peel it a little bit more. You are absolutely right, and I don't think digital acting as a replacement for a physical would be is the primary driver. So yes, a lot of people who are going for their first consultation, going for their initial diagnosis, and for a lot of conditions, it totally should be physical in person with a doctor. So when it comes to online consultations, the first consultation, I do believe, and for a lot of conditions, the physical there it doesn't get replaced by digital. Having said that, there's the market that is the follow-up consultations where most people in the normal scenario actually don't end up adhering. A heart specialist or a hypertension case or a diabetes doctor almost always will be writing, come back in 3 months or 6 months for a follow-up. 70-80% of the people don't go back till they feel they are unwell again. However, when that moves into an easy digital conversation, the propensity of these people to actually do a follow-up just to check in all is well becomes much higher. So follow-ups really go up quite a bit. The second part that goes up quite a bit is places where access is a big problem. And India is not just the big city, so many people have to travel on a daily basis from so I'm in Delhi, so coming from Saharanpur, Meerut, the many small towns across the country, they come to Delhi. And they don't come to Delhi for small things, but now they can get an opinion from a doctor, even for minor things, which otherwise would have gone without a consultation. So I think the change is actually much more fundamental, and it should not be seen as a replacement of the physical part. So that's one on teleconsultation. I'll just take one more minute on the other two, which is diagnostics. Now, pathology, giving your blood sample, frankly, I think what we are seeing is a new model, and that'll be the new normal, if you ask me. There's no reason why a patient should want to sit with 20 other people who may or may not have an infection, waiting to give a blood sample while fasting in the morning, when it can be done conveniently at your doorstep. So yes, there are some people who would probably want to go back into that format, but the convenience is just a little too much. I doubt it will be a regress into the old times. So I think home-based consultations are here to stay, whether the existing physical labs also provide it or digital platforms drive it more actively, time will tell. And the third part, same holds for pharmacy. It's not an experience where you want to enjoy the shopping of your medicines, and you want to get it done with the least friction possible. So I think fundamentally the model of delivery of care at home is a better model as long as it is economically viable. And we are seeing that viability come today.
Prashant, you know, one of the key things is how do you manage the risk that actually does come with teleconsulting as well as e-pharmacy in particular? Because in teleconsulting, the person is not being examined physically, and maybe a diagnosis can go wrong. And secondly, for an e-pharmacy, similar case, you don't know who on the other end is in fact uploading the prescription. So for these two issues, or in terms of managing the risk that comes with healthcare online, how do you manage these two?
Fair questions, and I think let's start with teleconsultations. If one looks at the teleconsultation guidelines, it's very clear. First of all, those guidelines are for the medical professionals to, and they have a right to take a call at any point, whether this consultation, they are satisfied with the information that they have to make a decision on diagnosis. And it is that professional discretion at the end of the day, whether the doctor feels comfortable that, yes, I know enough from the data information that I have to make a decision whether I should prescribe a treatment path in this situation. And what can be prescribed, cannot be prescribed is also fairly clearly laid out. So those are very well thought out guidelines. And I think that should take care of a lot of this specific concern on teleconsultation. The other part is at the end of the day, it's always the comfort and discretion of a doctor, whether they get all the information that is sufficient. Now, even when you talk about the diagnosis part, there are certain things that require percussion, palpations, etc., where you need to touch and feel the patient. And there are certain things where you do not. And technology is evolving to give you all those kinds of stethoscope data through digital devices. But in the absence of that, I believe it's the doctor's and the platform's responsibility to ensure that in cases where it is required and not doable, they should call the patient for a physical checkup always. Now, coming to the e-pharmacy part, I think the big responsibility is on ensuring, and it actually enables a lot better adherence. Everything is traced, everything is tracked, everything is digital. So we know for every single patient what is the prescription, which doctor gave that prescription, what is the condition, and then that medicine gets dispensed onto that. As against the prevailing model where people just walk in and get anything from a pharmacy without necessarily showing prescriptions. Now to the question whether the prescription itself is genuine or not. And I think that is an industry issue, which is not an online issue.
Sure.
You can walk in with a piece of paper also, which could be not forged. And forgery, whether online or offline, is a crime committed by the consumer.
Okay.
So we are actually the people who will be the bearing that mistake or issue, but it's not something that the that is technically foolproof, online or offline. You can do
Okay.
that in any format.
All right. Prashant, that point is taken. Now I just want to come to competition in this space, because if it's across all of the companies, and there are companies with deep pockets which have come into this entire omni-channel play. They have offline, online presences. They are getting into diagnostics. They are buying diagnostic companies as well. Where do you make money? Because there is hyper competition and there is cutthroat discounting when it comes to services across the board. How does one make money? Do you ever make money in this space?
So I think definitely there are a lot of companies in the space. The competition is only going to grow, and that is because this space has a lot of opportunity. It does require upfront investment. It does require setting up of a lot of infrastructure. Now, but if you look at it fundamentally, healthcare as a sector, as an ecosystem, is a very profitable ecosystem. So digital should be making it more efficient over the long run. Now, in the short run, what competition is doing is a lot of people are trying to figure out this sector with various theses and trying to see if there's a land grab opportunity where they can spend faster and grow faster, and that can sustain. But over the long term, what at least I have seen in healthcare happen is the principal currency or the principal differentiator is going to be the trust of the user. And as a brand, as an offering, if you can reliably serve the consumer over and over again, those are the businesses that consistently do well in healthcare. So is there money to be made? I think the value pool is very, very large. And the number of pain points that exist in healthcare are very, very high. So get organized players are coming in because they understand that there's a lot of efficiency to be built in and a lot of value to be captured. Now, in the short run, how they get into a critical scale, different companies will have different strategies.
Okay, what is your strategy or what is the innovation that we could see in the sector? You did speak about AI processing, playing with data, radiology processing as well. Give us a sense in terms of whether we can see innovation come on board for these companies and by when.
Absolutely. And so I think it's happening. It's happening very, very fast. We have a very evolved data science team at our back end. And just I wanted to talk about when we talk of our strategy from the very beginning. Actually, I was introduced as an e-pharmacy player, but we started with healthcare content and transparency and information. That's why we have so much people traffic on our platform. And then we started e-pharmacy, e-diagnostics, and e-consultations pretty much following each other very, very fast over the course of 12 months. Now, why did we do that then, and why is it a part of our strategy? Because fundamentally, we believe healthcare works better when it is integrated, when it is a platform where information and data between the various lines, whether it's pharmacy, whether it's diagnostics, whether it is consultation, that entire engagement and interaction can happen. Now that the building blocks are there, the real value will come when healthcare starts working over a life cycle of a patient. So unlike other transactions, healthcare is a life cycle game, and real value capture is actually if the life cycle cost is reduced by you being the partner of the consumer. That they do not need to get hospitalized, they do not need to get into complex, expensive surgeries just because they are able to manage, or we are able to support them to manage their health in the outpatient context. So where are we working? How does that happen? Is a lot of the data sciences are actually focused on creating these life cycle trajectories of users and understanding what could be inflection points where active support may help prevent more expenditure in the future. So I think healthcare is changing fundamentally. It's moving to a predictive, preventive, and a very personalized model with all the data coming into the game. So
Okay.
That's where the big value of the future will be. In the meantime, yes, we have to build out the large transaction markets, which is the pharmacy, the diagnostic, or and consultations. But these are all counting towards or contributing towards getting this data machine to churn out a better model that keeps people healthier over a longer period of time. I think
Okay.
that value is what we are trying to seek, and that model is very much doable today with the status of technology.
Okay, quickly then, Prashant, before we wrap up this conversation, a two-part question. One is, do you expect the healthcare market or health tech market to probably be around $7 billion in the next couple of years? That's what the street estimates. It's currently around 2.5 to 3 odd billion, like you mentioned. And separately, how should one value a company in the health tech space, which is probably looking to come into the markets? Because your target market is older as compared to, say, the Nykaas and the Zomatos of the world. And this target market probably prefers the pharmacy down the road, where they can just pick up the phone and they have that trust-based relationship, which they have not established, or it's difficult to establish with an online presence. Your view on these two?
All right. The first part to the question, sorry, I would need the question
The
again.
valuation, 2 billion to 7 billion. Do you expect the market to grow to that much?
The value of the market. I think most the street will be surprised by the rate at which the growth happens from here. I think 7 billion at the base level sounds okay, but in my mind it will be a much faster ramp, and there's a reason for that. See, healthcare is a multi-stakeholder game. There's the government or the regulator, there are pharma companies, insurance companies, hospitals, and consumers. All of them are important stakeholders. And what COVID did was spurred all of them to change their behaviors overnight. And now everyone is thinking digital first. And this behavioral change, this takes sometimes generations otherwise. And talk of telemedicine. First telemedicine guidelines were discussed back in 2001 or 2002. Come COVID, and within a week, we had the telemedicine guidelines released. These behavioral changes take time, that time has come suddenly. And then what the PM announced, the National Digital Health Mission and the Unified Health Interface as the next big thing, is monumental. I think what it is going to create is digitization of the healthcare value chain in similar to what UPI did for money, and we know what happened thereafter. So the rate of change is there's a discontinuity. The things that I don't think the street or analysts right now would be able to fathom what all can happen from here. So I would say downside, 7 billion sounds okay, but the upside and the real picture might be a big multiple of that. That's what at least we are gunning for. So that's number one. I think the second part of your question was how should health tech be valued? I think they should be valued based on what is the specific reason for any player to have the trust of the consumer over a long term. So it should be seen as are they building the right elements for to get consumers to trust them over a period of time rather than flip in or out. It's a older demographic, no doubt, but it's a market that is completely, even in the offline world, fragmented and full of efficiency gaps. So I think we have immense headroom for many years to come in this ecosystem. So the only thing that matters is pretty much never in healthcare over a long term does a company succeed if they are not able to build a brand that consumers can rely on. So that's the secret sauce, the simple thing, doing the same basics right. So if that is happening, I think this sector just has unlimited potential from here.
Okay, all right, Prashant. On that note, we're going to wrap up this conversation, but I'm sure we're going to touch base with you again as the market becomes more interesting and there are more companies which will probably even want to hit the markets. Thanks very much for joining in, Prashant, and talking to us on the Medicine Box.